end of the week, May the 10th through the 14th. Going to come to you four times this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 Eastern Standard Time. Tuesday night, survivetothrive.net. It is 7 p.m., and we've got a brand new, absolute brand new topic for the week, the seduction of popular culture, info from Hell's Kitchen. Now, we're going to take a look at, well, tonight, U.S. News and World Report put out a major collector's edition, The Mysteries of Faith, Secrets of Christianity. Here's some of the topics: the real Jesus, miracles, the lost gospel, the three Marys, Judas, exorcisms, the Inquisition, Apocalypse 2012. Now, as you take a look at this, I'm telling you that popular culture is being sought as far as influence. I mean, there's clearly a goal of influence here, and we're taking a look at it right this week. Along with U.S. News and World Report, we're going to take a look on Tuesday night, Time Magazine, a very special edition. It is called Secret Societies, Decoding the Myths and the Facts of History's Most Mysterious Organizations. So we're going to delve into the Knights Templars, Masonic Emblem, the Pyramid, All-Seeing Eye, quite a few other things concerning secret societies. Now, we will look on Wednesday night, I Spy Magazine, The Covert World of Espionage. We're going to take a look at some of the things they've been revealing the world over. And what are we able to spy out? What really is occurring? Where's, well, I tell you what, we're going to delve into God's ability to spy on the totality of the future, including yours. But tonight, we're going to touch on this title, U.S. News World Report, Secrets of Christianity. And then I've got a subtitle, Oh Really, What Secrets? Now, they're going to talk about things like, well, the Bible and how, you know, the early church literally covered up and hid all these other manuscripts, and they're coming out now. God being like an impersonal force. Jesus being just a nice teacher. The resurrection not really occurring. Bloodline, the Holy Grail. All of it, we're going to take a look into what they're trying to tell popular culture. So listen, folks, if you're new to the show tonight, if you're new to this, well, the live radio, or by the thousands of you, you're downloading the archives, we're glad that you're listening, and we're always glad to hear from you. You can write to me, Russ Dizdar, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, and appreciate again the comments from last week in the series that we've done there. Now, this week in this series, I am going to say again, spiritually, behind every single thing that is going on, there is a well, spiritual force as never before in human history, and we're seeing more and more and more of it. Now, I'm going to tell you what, most of the world seems to be very clear about the fears of catastrophic events, but confused why. 2012 and 2012ers are trying to answer that. And it's amazing to me that in this magazine collector's edition, U.S. News and World Report, that they're going to unveil the secrets, quote, secrets of Christianity, which includes a segment in the magazine, Apocalypse 2012, and the Mayans, and all of that comes into it. So I want to say again, thanks for emailing right now. It looks like we're trying to get 20 to 30 responses to you folks every day now. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. So if you don't get something right away, please understand it is a matter of just physics, time, and ability. But we're trying to get to everybody as much as possible. Let me tell you also now about some of the things that are coming up. Let me mention to you before we get into the body of this message and engage the, well, what do they call it? The decoding of Christianity. Decoding Christianity. And we're going to find a absolute, kind of a revision. And that's, again, not based on anything really new, concrete, actual. And so we need to take a look at it because the seduction of popular culture. I'm going to tell you right now, from Hell's Kitchen, and maybe you're listening tonight and you are one of those listeners looking for truth. I mean, really looking for it, wanting to find it, wanting to see, you know, and I've got a number of emailers writing to me, telling me about where they are. And listen, this topic tonight, out of this week's topic, should interest you because it deals with some of you that conceive of God as just an energy or a force. We're going to take a look at that tonight. And some of you that would look at the revisionist views that have been out there that have influenced you. And we'll take a look at that also. But again, I want to say welcome. My name is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. That is the address you can take a look at. But we are telling you that on that website, hundreds of absolutely free MP3 trainings, teachings, podcasts, broadcasts, and take your time on the site. A lot of things there. There's a course, training course for believers in Christ called Confronting the Powers. Now, I'm going to add something into this week. It's called Supernatural Apologetics. If you understand apologetics in the area of giving a reason for the hope that is in you, we have a course out there that we're going to begin to offer absolutely free, apologetics, and we're going to put that up by Friday, so be looking on the website by Friday, and we will have that up there also, another training course, so that you can be able to give an answer to the world around you. And it really has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight. The seduction of popular culture. The spiritual engagement. It is a supernatural, as far as inspiration that seeks to bring a different alternative message to reduce. And there's a particular thing I'm going to bring to you tonight. And I do have somebody, and I appreciate this, though. They wrote to me and said, they said, don't use so many scriptures, and wanted me to use some other areas of evidences and so forth. But they also acknowledge they don't know God. They don't know the power of this revelation where God's presence literally animates and is in the living words. And so I want you to understand how absolutely incredible the words of God are. And I'm going to give you something out of the book of Romans. If you look at chapter 1 in the book of Romans, verses 23 on down, you're going to see twice where there's an exchange. An exchange. Let me give you this, then we'll go into some news, then we'll go to the body of the message. The exchanging of the glory of God for a lie. Well, actually, for images. Images. So the first time the word is used, metalaxin, it is the idea of just simply an exchange where the world has exchanged the glory of God for images. In other words, making out spirituality in our own fashion. By the design of our own hands, designing God, designing Christ, designing revelation, designing spirituality, designing spiritual events, spiritual experiences, designing religion. Now, when that is put in the hands of man, or when the hands of fallen man intrude into real Christianity, then there's always going to be obscurity and a problem. And literally a massive reduction of God, Christ, and all that has been revealed. There's this massive, incredible revelation, the heart of God, the activity of God, the living, pursuing presence of God. But listen, We can either embrace what God is literally offering, or we can, as many have, make up our own way and embrace what it is we have made. So in Romans 1, you're going to hear me all week talk about how the world as a whole has exchanged the glory of God. Now we'll look at this when it deals with philosophical systems and spiritual systems exchanging, and maybe you're right there, and you've exchanged the glory of God, the immensity, infinity, the relational aspect, God in all of who God is and reveals and does, well, for images made by the hands of fallen man. Sometimes inspired by a dark presence that seeks to bring obscurity to God. There's a battle. I mean, there's a battle. There's some presence in the world that seeks to obscure God, confuse humanity, and keep you away. We want to deal with that. So in Romans 1, all week long, we're going to talk about how the world as a whole is led to exchange the glory of God for images. Secondly, in verse 25, the world as a whole exchanges, metalaxon, exchanges the aletheia, truth. This is like reality. Exchanges the reality, God's truth, for a lie, for a pseudo. So there is this declaration by the Spirit of God now, how humanity has exchanged the glory of God for images, and also the truth of God for a lie. What I'm going to try to do this week is to help us to make an exchange. Meatloaf, the rock and roll singer, years ago put out a song called "I Want My Money Back." It was a song about how he feels ripped off in this world. A lot of us can feel ripped off in this world. The one radio show that I do called The Ragged Edge, that's the concept. In a fallen world where we're cheated, lied to, stolen from, death, disease, war, bloodshed, rape, pain, misery, loneliness, name it all, it's all there. And the issue is this: why? You know, I'm reading Richard Dawkins. I'm reading a number of these other, you know, materials, a book called The God Theory, and I'll bring that out also probably next week. And as I read this, part of fallen man's anger is what occurred in Genesis 3. After we have screwed up, after we have messed up, after we have done the stuff and cut ourselves off from God, then we blame shift. We blame shift. We either blame shift to other people, or we blame God. And so you may know, or maybe you have been blaming God, and you're bitter in your soul, and you're angry and confused because the world is not what you think it should be. Because in all of humanity, the mark of the Imago Dei, the image of God, the reality that we should be in the image of God, eternal, no death, no disease, no rape, no war, no pain, no loneliness, no psychological breach, spiritual breach, ecological breach, or economic breach, and on and on and on. But we have the pain. Now, God says it relates to our sin and a dark presence. When you step outside of the truth, then you have to look up reasons or blame God. We're going to look into that pretty much next week pretty good. But I wanted you to know this week that we're going to be using Romans 1 and those two concepts all week long. And maybe you're there. Maybe you're a seeker. Maybe you're looking. Maybe you're wanting. Maybe you're desiring. Maybe you felt something draw you to this show. Maybe you have received it as somebody sent it to you. And you're taking the time, and I want to say this, welcome, thank you. I want you to know me, just simply a man that loves God, that knows God, that has walked with God for 35 years. Before that, I wasn't raised in church. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't read a Bible. I wouldn't get into anything like that. I lived a different life. But when the encounter occurred, everything changed. You see, God is so absolutely real, supernaturally real, but now naturally just, it's like, I've been married for 30 years, but I know my wife, and I know my daughter, 19 years old, but I know God, and I know that God loves you. I know that God is real, God is relational, God is awesome, God is big, and God knows you, and God wants you. There's nobody that wants you more. Listen, here's up front. I want you to know God. I want you to know the power of the grace of God. I want you to know the beauty of that salvation, healing, and the gift of eternal life. And all of the wisdom, the answers that come from the heart of God. But I'm going to tell you that sin brings obscurity. Blame shifting and cover up and excusing ourselves in a dark, supernatural adversary. You know, it's real. And that's why things are getting worse, not better, worse. So as you listen tonight, please understand that I have no hidden agenda. There's no secrets on this side of the microphone as far as what I need to tell you, what I need to share, and why I do this, because of the living presence of the Spirit of God, God Himself, His presence, the living Christ. I know Him. He's alive. And He's right where you are. But we're going to crack in this week to the issue. The seduction of popular culture. Information from Hell's Kitchen. And I hope you'll take a listen all week long, and especially tonight, because we only have 1 hour each one of these sessions that we have. And I believe it's providential. I believe it's supernatural. I believe that many, many believers in Christ listen. I love to hear from you. ShatterXmail, SBCGlobal.net. And we have, a lot of folks that do write and do let us know what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they need, and sometimes just to say hello. And so I'm glad for you to be here and to send a note. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate Jake, Josh sending in a word. And let me just read, because I think it's important what he has down here. It says, Russ, quote, I have tonight's issue. It's like the media is revising the past. Have you noticed the History Channel is trying to make everyone believe that they invented and founded everything? And then Josh says, nonsense. And I agree with you there. And if you look at Friday night's topic, we're going to touch on the History Channel's goal. I believe there's a goal there, seduction of popular culture. You know, the ancient aliens issue that's been coming out, the new videos and all the Daniken stuff, and, turning God into a little gray-skinned, alien. So we're going to delve into that Friday night and crack into the History Channel's motivations. But I'm going to tell you that some are literally knowingly being guided by Hell's Kitchen. Others, and if maybe even most, even like Richard Dawkins, the atheist, and like these magazines we're going to look into, and the History Channel, maybe there's what's called wittings and unwittings. Unwittingly, because it's not in their frame of belief. Listen, as a man thinks, so is he, the Bible talks about. So if the History Channel developers and the ones that do the documentaries, then they're really bringing out what it is they believe. It's not objective. When I listen to the ancient aliens things, I listen to the one individual talking about Ezekiel chapter 1 and how you cannot interpret this any other way than that it was an alien spaceship. And I thought, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Have you not read the whole context? To reduce, again, exchanging the glory of God for a man-made image that is always infinitely cheaper, little, small, And we think that in our hands, when we exchange the glory of God, that in our hands we have something fantastic, a new science, a new technology, a new revelation, that we have uncovered the secrets of Christianity, and the secrets are bigger than the reality of Christianity. Well, once again, it's like the old song, Dust in the Wind. It all fades. It all fades. And we're going to really help you take a look at this tonight. The second one was exchanging the truth, Halathia. This revelation of God dealing with reality. And we all search, you know, what is reality? Where did evil come from? Why are we dying? Why is the world in shambles? Why does it seem to be, disintegrating before our very eyes? Why is there a culture war in America? Maybe in your nation. Greece riots and oil being poured out in the Gulf and volcanoes in Iceland shutting down travel and earthquakes that kill and terrorists that want to. And there you are. Dear sweet listener, there you are. And I believe what the biblical term hope means, a assured, infallible, coming reality. There's hope for you. If you're a believer in Christ, then you need to stand on the side of the God that loves you. Read Romans chapter 8 all over again. Nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ. You're more than conquerors. If God be for us, who can be against us? So listen, encourage yourself with the word of God. Stand in the presence of God, you know. Bind your heart to the truth and watch the experience of what that truth says become reality in your heart. When you believe the word, when you obey the word of God, you are engaged and experience God. It is a pleasure for me to tell you that. So I can tell you about a lot of things. I can tell you about things that I like in life. Cool things. If I have the time tonight, I'll be out in the woods, 5 miles back into the deep woods. Deer will be running through. It's a cool place. Awesome. But not nearly as important as me telling you that God loves you, God knows you, God wants you. Now, let me give you a couple things just in the news that I have to do. And then we're going to get into about 6 or 7 of these, quote, secrets of Christianity, which involves the exchanging of the glory of God for man-made, cheaper, fading, finite. Well, exchanging the truth for a lie. So if you want man-made images in your hand and heart, man-made, you know, or even demonic dark side lies, is that what you're going to base your life on? Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you have the living God in love and power and grace and mercy dwelling inside of you to where you can say, I know that I know that I know Jesus Christ dwells in me, lives in me. He is God. He is Savior. He is alive. And I have the gift of eternal life. And I'm in fellowship with God. I'm letting you know tonight that it's absolutely possible right now, tonight, if you haven't yet come to know God. God's made a door. Now, you can take your door, the world's door, the demon's doors. You can take all the other alternative doors. See where it's gotten you. See where they go. What's the source? Or you can take the door that God has given that is absolutely unprecedented, unequaled, brilliant, filled with majesty, but definitely concrete reality. 2 news items, just real quick. I need to touch on these. Number one, here we go. Kagan, should she be appointed to the Supreme Court? Who is this lady, Kagan, Elena Kagan, that Barack Obama is now going to want to have her appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States of America? This is the woman at Harvard that outlawed the military, I believe, on the college university's grounds. This is the one that is extremely liberal, never been a judge, has no experience whatsoever. I don't believe she's being picked because she has tremendous experience behind her concerning, you know, this kind of an appointment. I think it's because of what she really believes. I think it's because this is a goal to bring, seduction to popular culture. Because included here is concepts of globalism. Look this week for her ties, her background, what she really believes. And look this week whether or not she's going to be the doorway for the activist gay homosexual community. Let me say something to any of the gays or homosexuals that might be listening somehow by God's providence. That it is very clear that anybody that has whatever they do sexually in their own bedroom, hey, that is not up to me. That's between you and how you live and what you live and die with. Whatever your choice is. I mean, there's adulterers and there's sex before marriage, sex with multiple partners. There's all kinds of alternatives out there. Sex is a very powerful thing. And I believe that not only has God created it as an awesome and joyful and pleasurable and the power to procreate, but I do think that sin and Satan himself have exploited it, perverted as with the rest of things in a fallen world. So my word concerning the issue for all the others listening now, especially believers, I mean, many of you, thousands of you across America as believers in Christ, you're going to have to make your stand because it's not about what people do in their own bedrooms. None of us have any say concerning that. But when gay activism and a homosexual activist agenda begins to say, we're going to create laws and force pro-homosexual teaching on 4th, 5th, and 6th graders and in high schools, and we're going to eventually force churches to where they're going to have to hire gays, lesbians, so forth, and or not say it's a sin. You know, it's funny that we're allowed to say that adultery is a sin or sex before marriage is a sin or, you know, necrophilia, bestiality, and all the other stuff. Pornography, sin. But I'm telling you, there's a propensity for a cover-up in the heart and the life of a practicing, very active gay and lesbian and homosexuals. The agenda is, well, there's a propensity to free the conscience. And so we, you know, the goal within the community, the activist homosexual community, is going to be, let's change culture. Let's change laws. Let's change education. Let's change thinking. Let's change religion. Let's change God. Let's change history. Let's change everything. Listen, we all know biologically and physiologically, when it comes to a man sexually with another man, well, biologically, physically, it's abnormal. The parts really don't fit. I mean, are we nuts? Do we not have the ability to look at the biological, the physical side, and realize where the parts are meant to go? And to say, well, but it's love and I feel love. Well, so that's also said with NAMBLA, the North American Love Boy, Man Boy Associate. I mean, there's that among pedophiles. So we can't just use that. And what about the thousands and thousands and thousands of former gays? Even gay activists who are no longer gay at all. That's the big undisclosed secret in America. Boy, if a ex-former gay activist changes, you know, is straight, gets married to the opposite sex, has children, and declares that they like it better, well, they're going to get their heads chopped off, basically. So I'm just going to say, watch what's going on here. Again, fierce prayer in America against, you know, you know what? Don't give America or your nation to the dogs. Don't let America be, you know, listen, you're going to have to fight. Not just listen, fight. And the place to fight is your life and your walk with God, fierce prayer, powerful evangelism, living as a light in the community of the world, exposing and fighting evil on every single level, and praying that political levels and so forth in the next elections are going to be really changed, and that we're going to see, you know, again, America, politicians, judges, they're either going to be those people that open the door to the blessing of God because of their belief and walk and life and position, or they're going to help slam the door and bring damnation. Very important that we check it out. So keep an eye on this. Second thing I want to bring in real quick was Melissa Huckabee. Now, we brought a lot of this into some of our discussions about a year, well, almost a year ago or whatever. Melissa Huckabee, she has, you know, pleaded guilty in the murder case of the dear little girl, Sandra Cantu, the 8-year-old, of not only rape, but see, nobody's going to tell the public what really occurred, what was done with the body, how it was ritualistically cut up, stuffed into some kind of suitcase and dumped, and what was done in between and why. And is Melissa Huckabee a multiple with sub-personalities that are demonized? What's going on? You know, have they really investigated, and will law enforcement come out with the rest of the story? So let's keep praying for those who are very interested that all the facts come out, because there's more to the story. Now, that's enough of the news. Let me get back to tonight's particular subject. The seduction of popular culture. U.S. News and World Report's special edition. I'm not saying go out and buy it. I'm just saying it's out there that many have. And that it's positioning itself as like, well, it's some kind of major study, and now we're going to reveal the secrets of Christianity. And the mentality within the entire magazine, a lot of great pictures, a lot of great historical pictures, nothing that I'm really seeing new on the front of the Jesus Seminar folks and liberalism in the sense of theologians that claim Christianity, but they don't even know God. So when we look at this and we see the title, Secrets of Christianity, oh, what are the secrets? Let me give you the secrets that they're gonna say they're going to unveil, okay? Here are the secrets that they're going to unveil. One would be, well, the Bible itself is not really the book of God. That the Bible we have today is the cover-up version of what really occurred. That the early church, and again, all of this relates to the Catholic Church. The Catholic structure, which is a political takeover of Christendom back in those days. That there is a high level of political takeover and religious syncretism in the blending and then presenting a Christendom that really is not the simple Christendom of the book of Acts. And we'll take a story, but I'm going to tell you right now that that's where a lot of this goes, because all through the magazine, as with the Gnostics way back then in the teachings and the New Age today and the secret societies, and well, there's so much massive blame, quote, on the church. What they mean is the old Catholic Church, the Inquisitions, the Crusades, the child abuse, and a lot of stuff. So please understand that when they pit the secrets that they're finding out and all these other alternatives, they're pitting against not real Christianity, but a politicized, religiously syncretistic version. And I think that it's very important that we engage, because whether witting or unwitting, whether they've done it purposely to lie to the culture, or whether they've accepted the conflicts and lies and contradictions and they're putting it out themselves, well, either way, it's out there. And so when I saw the magazine, I grabbed it up right away and wanted to take a look, and I began reading it through. And here's what it's all about. The so-called secrets of Christianity. You know what it is? It is really not secrets. It's the idea that Christianity today and throughout the history of the ominous, you know, history of the Catholic Church, that they have covered up what the Word of God really is, covered up what God really is, covered up who Christ really is, covered up the resurrection, covered up what salvation is all about, covered up what religion is about because of the Crusades, the Inquisition, and the Catholics, you know, backing of Nazi Germany and the Nazi rat lines and showing in opposition to the Jews back in the day. Once again, in all of this, the goal, exchange the glory of God for images, or exchange the truth of God for lie. What would you rather have? The image and the lie? Both of which, reality, aletheia, truth, is not there. In the images and in the lies, you cannot find God. You cannot get God. You cannot obtain the indestructible immortality, the peace, the forgiveness, the healing of God. See, in the images and in the lies comes more and more obscurity and confusion and the offer of some kind of alternative. And somehow, in the midst of it, it preys upon individuals' anger, bitterness. So let's go over what U.S. News and World Report has done in unveiling a special edition magazine called The Mysteries of Faith, Secrets of Christianity. The way they present it is as if Christianity has purposely plotted and planned a massive cover-up, that there's a big bait and switch, that instead of the reality of history and the reality of the Bible, God, Jesus, resurrection, salvation, and Christian history, instead of the real reality that U.S. News and World Report is going to bring to us, there's a big cover-up. And there's a big, massive cover-up to present it all in a different way. And so in all of this, they come to bring a revision of the Bible, revision of God, revision of Jesus, revision of resurrection, revision of salvation, and revision of the history. Let's go over them one by one. Number one, a revision of the Bible. And it involves in every attempt to make a revision, notice in all of it in 2,000 years, all of the revisionist histories, and it all involves a reduction. It all involves a reduction of the Bible and trying to get individuals to go to the secrets. Well, the Gnostic Gospels, the hidden manuscripts, all of these old manuscripts and all of these old books, the lost books of the Bible, the lost Gospels. You've heard of books like that all over the place. And it's as if, you know, you hear in a popular culture sense, well, this is what Christianity did. It burned and hid and outlawed and got rid of all of these other real historical gospels and writings and manuscripts. And so the Bible that we have today is really nothing more than a cover-up Bible to cover up real history, real manuscripts, real writings. And so they're going to present to you in this magazine, along in other places, well, there's the Gospel of Judas, Gospel of Mary. There are the other Gospels, the Gospel of Thomas, and that all of these were purposely covered up and burned or hidden, or they sought to get rid of them, though individuals hid them, and that now manuscripts are coming out of the tombs and places, and archaeologists are finding the real manuscripts that Christianity purposely covered up. And again, I want to say that they're once again exchanging the truth for a lie. Once again, they're not giving you the real history of the canon of Scripture, what the grid was, the Christ-centered issue, the doctrine issue, the Spirit of God's issue, the writer's issue, et cetera, the witness. Instead, they want to give you the Gnostic version, which is now the New Agers version, which means, you know what, there's other writings. There's the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Judas. There's all kinds of others. There's 2 Mark, 3 Peter, all these other writings that should be brought out. And these are the things that Christianity has thrown out what it's really saying is Christianity's lied to the world. The secrets are being uncovered. And all these new writings, well, let's take a look at them. Don't be afraid to look at them. When you study the Word of God, the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the rest of New Testament Scripture, number one, there's more manuscript copies that attest to the current New Testament Bible that we have than any other book in ancient literature, in ancient history. The Bible surpasses by the thousands upon thousands when it comes to the archaeological, the historical, the manuscript. The Bible's unprecedented. See, when the real facts come out, the historical, the archaeological, the manuscript evidence, the 23 plus thousand manuscript pieces and copies and all that's out there. As a matter of fact, the Bible as we have it today was so deeply, broadly used in the early church, not the Catholic stuff from 300 on, AD on, but the earliest parts of the early real church fathers that were second generation, third generation believers from the death and resurrection of Christ. Here's what the facts are. You can find this in a DVD called Evidence for the Bible. You can find this from anybody that really knows manuscript issues and New Testament issues, that the entire New Testament could be re-put together as we have it today by getting the quotes from the earliest church fathers, because they so massively used Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 John, Thessalonians, Timothy, Revelation. They so used it that if we got rid of all the Greek manuscripts, we can just simply go to the earliest of church fathers and actually reassemble the New Testament as we have it today. There's a reason why the earliest of church fathers and those that were involved in the canon did not put the gospel, the so-called Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Judas, Gospel of Mary. See, I've read them. They are not the Word of God. They were not inspired by the Spirit of God. They do not preach what the Old Testament says about the coming Messiah. They do not have the interwoven Old Testament to New Testament connection. They do not have the witness of the Spirit of God. They do not present Christ as the Old Testament, the elect angels, or the New Testament writers do. In all of the other writings they're talking about, there is also a revisitist history of who Jesus is, who God is. So they reduce the Bible and try to replace with all of the other writings that came 50 to 80 to 100 years after the Bible, that were in no way have the manuscript, archaeological, historical backing, let alone the connection to the Old Testament. You're talking about pseudepigraphic writings, false writings, writings that did not come from the inspiration of the Spirit of God or off the lips of an apostle that walked with Jesus, learned from Jesus. And that's why many of those so-called pseudepigraphic writings had hidden authors, or they were even literally purposely lying about authorship. You can check them out. Gospel of Judas won't help you out with anything. I've got it. Gospel of Mary. So that's Gnostic writings that came many, many years later, decades and decades and decades later, that do not give a better view of Christ, a better view of the Word of God, or a better view of God, of salvation, but instead reduce all of it. All of those other writings that they're trying to say the church covered up. No, the church didn't cover up. The believers and the leaders there rejected what did not come from the Spirit of God, what did not come from the real apostles, what did not come from the hand of God, as they should have. As they should have. The Spirit of God, sovereign, and in the Word of God, there is a life and a power that can lead to relationship to God. In the Gnostic Gospels, the pseudepigraphic writings, the things that they're trying to say were the cover-ups, not one of those can lead you to God. They will give you a different God, different Jesus, different way of salvation, different view of the resurrection, all of it. Well, that leads us to the second point. Not only does the so-called revisionist version, the version of reducing everything that the Bible and that God is, that Christ is, the resurrection is, and salvation is, and reduces it down to what? Again, dust in the wind, empty. The Spirit of God is not in those writings, not in those issues. So that's why I think it's very important for us to take a look at what they're trying to sell to the culture. They're trying to sell the culture, you know, muddied waters, confusion. They're trying to sell the culture manuscripts and writings and versions of Jesus and God and salvation and resurrection that absolutely have no life in them, no power in them, no ability to help anybody. See, the Gnostics were teaching that you can go through a number of spiritual, literally like levels, experiences, and evolution to deity, that you can literally become God. Now, that's the Luciferic teaching out of, that's exactly what the fallen cherub taught in Genesis 3. So you either have fallen, finite, the demonic doctrine, didache, teachings, that the Spirit of God guided the early church to reject. I mean, read 1 John all this week, again and again and again. Read 1 John. Look how many times we have the Spirit of God saying, I write this to you so that nobody, about those who were trying to lead you astray. There was a goal in the early days to purposely lead astray real believers, the church. There is a demonic battle. That's why Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. And in the early church, the gates of hell did not prevail. The Word of God sovereignly was given. It not only is the most attested to manuscript, New Testament, you know, as far as historically, archaeologically, on a manuscript level, it blows out of the waters everything that U.S. News and World Report or the Gnostics or the New Agers today, Elaine Pagels, all those included, would try to present. It always involves rejecting the real and presenting the facade. It's like the Mona Lisa, the real one, is valuable. But a copy, a forgery, is not. So the secrets of Christianity, there's no secrets. The New Testament has been unveiled. It has been sovereignly defended for 2,000 years. No additions, no taking away. It is the most attested to manuscript in history as far as ancient manuscripts go. There's nothing that 2012ers or anybody's finding, not Danica, nobody, that is as attested to as the New Testament. Now, in this also comes the revisionist manuscript. view of God. God is energy. God is present. God, you know, this gets into quantum physics, and God is energy, and the whole issue of maybe we can even pull God by smashing the particles, pull God into the atlas of CERN, the super collider, and maybe slice off kind of like the fingertip of God and get God under our microscope, as if God was reduced to material. Atoms and particles and protons and as if God could be reduced to that. Then understand the nature and being of God. Writings that come outside of where God himself reveals himself and what he is and what he's like, well, those other writings will always give you an obscure God that seems so distant, seems so like the force of Star Wars. Like simply an energy to tap into. What the Gnostics tried to do in the Nicolaitans and others in the early church days, up for the next few hundreds of years, the New Age has tried to do again and again. And we know that the New Age is founded upon the writings of Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, and a few other writers like that, that were guided by finite, fallen, real entities, real spiritual inspiration. It just wasn't God. And so they presented an alternative and a revisionist history, a revisionist revelation. So a revised Word of God, a revised God, a revised Christ, a revised resurrection, revised salvation, revised history for 2,000 years. And therefore, the conclusion ultimately is, it's all crazy, it's all a mess. How do you get to God? Where is the hope? Where is the answer? There's no answers in the U.S. News and World Report. There's no answers here. You get the magazine, the collector's edition. Does it lead you to God? No. Does it tell you how you can get into direct personal relationship with God and experience God? No. How you can be assured of eternal life? No. About the defeat of death? No. About the second coming of Christ? No. It's all going to be revised. Instead of the glorious return of Christ and a new heaven and a new earth and the healing of nations and peace, real, sovereign, by an infinite God in Christ's peace. Instead of that, they're going to give to you the 2012 conspiracy, the 2012 alternative. What do you want? See, I think that every believer out there should not in any sense, I mean, don't ever worry about these things. These are the same things that have occurred again and again and again and again as attacks to revise the Bible, revise God, revise Christ. Well, let's look at God, again, God. Revise God, make God out to be an energy, a power, a force. Basically, the God of finite fallen man is the kind of God, small g, you can pull under a microscope and study, and God's an energy, and God's way out there, and, you know, kind of like the deist existentialist put together. That's a bad combination. That's simply a bad combination. What about revising Jesus? I mean, instead of 300 revelations of prophets over a few thousands of years telling about the coming of God in human flesh, of a Savior, of a suffering servant, of a virgin bearing the Emmanuel, the God in human flesh, of the miracles and the saving power and the forgiveness of, instead of all of that, from what the prophets have said and thousands of years of history and the collective voices of ancient prophets that the Spirit of God guided. Instead of that, they're revising all of it. Again, pointing to the Gnostic Gospels, pointing to other things that not only were rejected then, but the Spirit of God, the real body of Christ worldwide, will reject. Because we're not going to take in what comes from the dark side. We can tell the difference. If you're a believer in Christ, you know God's voice. When I've read the Apocrypha, pseudepigraphic writings, when I read, and I do, I research all that stuff. My goal is to master New Testament Greek vocabulary, the manuscripts. I am on my way to do that and been working for years and years and years, and I love the study. I'm not afraid to read the Gospel of Judas and all those other things. I'm not afraid to take a look. So to the New Agers and to the Maharishis and to the cults, to the secret societies, the Masons, and to high-level New Agers all around. In every single case, there's a revising of Jesus. Instead of God in human flesh, Savior of the world, born in the most brilliant of ways, living that sinless, brilliant life, demonstrating the compassion of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the healing of God, the wisdom of God, demonstrating the attributes of God, going to the cross, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the promise of return. Listen, all of that is pushed out of the way in order to revise Jesus and give you a little... Well, a little rabbit's foot-sized Jesus, ufologists are doing, a little alien Jesus, a little psychic Jesus, a little Gnostic Jesus, a little Helena Blavatsky Jesus, a little Alice Bailey Jesus, a little Hindu Jesus. In every case, not God in human flesh, not infinite God, and the saving powers stripped away, and the amazing, unprecedented words of Jesus, I'm the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Nobody has ever said that in all of history, only him. And so instead of this God who loves you and come in human flesh, instead of looking at the Gospels and seeing the brilliance of Christ, and John the Baptist, one of the greatest men of God ever, well, he would hardly even bow down and tie the shoe stamp. So what do you want? You want the revision or you want the reality? This week we're talking about the exchange of the glory of God for images, exchanging the truth for a lie, but we want to lead you back. Come to the living Christ, God in human flesh. Check out shatterthedarkness.net. We'll finish this up tomorrow night. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Thank you. God bless you. Good night.